What is up, people? It is time for some Bullock Sports Show bonus content here, baby. This is gonna be awesome, radical content. Prepare to be amazed at how unbelievably exciting, fantastic this content is gonna be here. We're gonna begin with soccer content, then transition to hockey talk here on this bonus episode. Can't wait for people to enjoy this new episode, and thank you so much for supporting the podcast. Let's get to it now. No more dilly-dallying, no more using many words to say one thing. Let's get to it. So the first content I want to discuss was for the Chicago Fire FC. They played two matches since we last talked about the Fire. The first one was very exciting. This is one that DG Benable and I went to in person at Soldier Field on Gay Pride Night. It was also cool because there were Chicago Red Stars players in attendance as well. For example, Tierra Davidson, Emily Boyd, Danny Colaprico were in attendance in their own personal box. We got to sit excellent seats in the second row in 150 area, and it was awesome. And this game, for the most part, was not electric game. Both teams were feeling shut out. A lot of defensive slogs. Great passing, though, and great blocks by Andre Blake, Philadelphia Union's goalkeeper, and Gaga, our very own goalkeeper as well. This was the second time I've seen the Philadelphia Union. I saw them for my first ever Fire FC game back in May of 2021. This was my second time. And spoiler alert, the Fire now have beaten the Union. The Fire came back and won this game 1-0. Fourth win of the year. They beat the number one seed in the Eastern Conference as of this game. The Fire, as you know, were last, dead last. But we beat the first place Union, 1-0. And the main goal, the one that was the game winner, happened in the 68th minute. This one was awesome because great pass by Boris Sekulic. He got the ball off a cross pass, was able to fight off Jose Martinez. And once he was able to fight off Martinez, he, in one movement, passed the ball to Federico Navarro, who was up at the higher end of the pitch. And Federico, without a second's thought, immediately struck the ball left side. And Andre Blake, the goalkeeper, is one of the best in the MLS, almost got it. But there was nothing he could do because the strike by Federico was too fast. Federico immediately kicked it, zooming, left-footed screamer, going to the net, and Blake dove to stop it, but he was only able to get his fingertips on it, and it got into the net. 1-0 Fire lead, and 1-0 Fire victory. Congratulations to the Fire. This was a fantastic win, beating the Union side. And the Union were in first place. They have been inconsistent. Though they were first place, they've lost some games they should not have lost. And that's kind of an MLS story in the Eastern Conference this season overall. A lot of the Eastern teams have lost to bottom dwellers, horrible squads, and then they've beaten good sides as well. So it's kind of been inconsistent in the Eastern Conference. But the Fire were able to take out the Union. Great job by them. And that's all you need to know. Some people came back from injury, for example. The report, Jiren Shaqiri came back. And some other important pieces as well. Rafa Shields came back, so that was very important. So good job with Fire to hold on. We were worried they were going to blow up or fall apart like they often do. Late, they can get late goals, but then they explode and allow one. But this one, that did not happen. They held on and won. Great job by Fire FC. The next match for the Fire took place on the road in San Jose, California, where I used to live, my own old hometown. They took on the San Jose Earthquakes, and this match was an important one because the Earthquakes are really bad, and the point of fame was to beat a Union team and then come back and beat a horrible team in the Western Conference, bottom of the table. They needed to beat teams like that to get points. And the Fire, you say, well, they beat a first place team. Clearly, they can beat a last place team too. No, that's not the case, of course. The Fire were unable to beat San Jose Earthquakes, losing at PayPal Park 2-1. And though it was 2-1, this was more of a 2-0 match because the Fire were down 2-0 the whole entire match until basically a buzzer beater when Brian Gutierrez, his first ever goal in MLS, scored at the buzzer beater to make it 2-1. So at least the team was not shut out. That's a positive you could take from this match, that yay, we didn't get shut out. But still, it's not an impressive result. Losing to Earthquakes, who are very poor. And overall, the lineup for the Fire has been the same it's been recently. Besides, like, Turan starting in defense, and Bornstein back after a few starts off, it's been pretty much the same. And for Earthquakes, their lineup was Marjanovic, defense, Mary, Nathan, Beeson, Lopez, Gregus, Yule, Espinoza, Montero, Kalanovic, and Ubuse. That was starting 11 for the Earthquakes. They were able to dictate the pace the Earthquakes were in this one. The Fire fell down early, and once they fell down by those goals, the Fire's chances of coming back to beat the Earthquakes was very little. The Fire are not a team that's excellent at coming back from deficits. Usually if the Fire get a few goal lead, they're okay, as long as it's more than one. But they were unable to come back, and the Earthquakes were too amazing. So that was the Fire's two recent matches. Their next match is at home against Columbus, who won the MLS Cup 2 years ago. This was going to be good. Hopefully the Fire can play decently against Columbus, who's middle of the pack, get the W, that, or at least the draw. That would be the best result for Fire FC. Now transition to the Red Stars. The Red Stars have played one match since we last talked. This one was on the road on July 2nd, a few days ago, against Gotham FC. And the Fire, though they were okay, let's talk about the Red Stars, because this one, dominant performance against Gotham FC on the road. 3-0 beatdown of Gotham, who last year was a playoff side, who the Red Stars beat in their first round matchup at home. And that is the one that DJ Bunny Bull and my sister and I went to. We got to see a playoff match where the Red Stars kicked butt and beat Gotham. And though Gotham has retooled and new players on the side as well, some of them are the same. But without Christy Mewis, she did not play in this match. They struggled. And the Red Stars, led by Tatum Alazo's excellent goal, Al Stevens' two goals, and Yuki Nagasato, Sarah Luber's passing, they were able to win this match. Free zip. Great job by Tatum, Ella, and Sarah Lubert, and Yuki. The assists and goals were stunning. Gotham had no way to come back. And Ashlyn Harris is a very experienced goaltender. She's been in goal for a long time and one of the better goalies in, for Gotham and for NWSL as of late. But she was unable to stop the onslaught of the Red Stars. They were far too much for the paper D of Gotham. And I say that, but their defense actually is pretty good with Imani Dorsey, Eli Krieger, Caprice Trisario, and Gino Lewandowski. But they were unable to stop our offense, and our defense held strong as well with Zoe Morris, Tatum, Amanda Kowalski, and that was great job. Usually four people are in defense, but the manager changed it up to have a different lineup with three defenders instead with Tatum, Morris, and Kowalski. They all did a great job, and this was also interesting because there was not Alyssa Nair. She did not start in net in this game. It was Emily Boyd. Great job, Emily Boyd. Her first start of this season. She's now the backup. More than earned it. Emily Boyd, great job. And I'm proud of Emily Boyd because I think soon she's going to become the full-time goalie. Because Alyssa Nair is getting older, and she is heavily involved in international and national team duties. And it's probably going to be the same thing as last season where Alyssa Nair is unavailable for a number of games due to national team duties. So Emily Boyd will step in. Last time, she was the third-string goalie, so she only played sparingly, but now she's the backup, so she's going to be starting far more in net. So that's great for Emily Boyd and Red Stars. Great job. Kicked Gotham's butt. Hooked up the W. Stayed first place in NWSL standings. Red Stars looking good, looking strong. Great job. Their next match for the Red Stars is coming up right away at home July 10th against North Carolina Courage. This one's going to be good. The Courage are a bad team, I know. They lost all their great stars. Superstars are gone, but they still are the Courage, and maybe they can put up a fight against the Red Stars on the road. I think the Red Stars should dominate this one, should pick it up Sunday at 5 Central Time. They should be able to beat Courage. As long as they play well, play strong, don't underestimate Courage, because they do have some talent still there. They should be fine. And I'm hoping for a W for that one, because that's going to dictate how they look in these upcoming matches and getting towards the end of the season. Still a long way to go, but it's getting there. Now we transition from soccer to hockey here on the Mark Sports Show for this bonus episode. We have some explosive rants to go on. I know I haven't discussed the Blackhawks in forever because I was angry with the team for the one horrible cover-up and how they treated that young man on the team long ago. And he was horribly treated and not reported. They covered it up. Disgusted with their despicable behavior. And I know you could say, well, the people who were involved are gone. Most people did not get punished. And are still people who allow that to happen that are involved in hockey in some way. So I was angry at what happened there. But the Blackhawks are a team I do want to discuss, the Chicago team. We do want to discuss the Chicago local teams here on the Long Sports Show. That's our main focus here. So the Blackhawks do deserve some discussion. Will I support the team and watch them next season? I'm unsure of that yet. I want to support the team. I want to watch the Blackhawks because that was my favorite team. But I just need to still reassess. I might consider watching, but I don't know yet. But I do need to cover it. And we had big trades for the NHL draft, which came up a few days ago. It began, and in part to that, they made two humongous deals. Three, technically. But one is not that big. I guess I'll start with the least important one first. So first, I know the goaltending situation is all... They have Kevin Lankin and Colin Delia. They're both whatever goalies, but B goalies, first stringers, not that good, either one of them. So they wanted a veteran goalie who could step in and start. He's not that great, but at least he's better than Lankin or Delia, and that goalie is Petr Mazurek. He's been around a lot. For example, he was on Hurricanes before, Maple Leafs. He's been a lot of places, and they had just traded for him in a trade for some draft picks. Two draft picks go to the opposing team, and one goes to the Blackhawks along with Magic. He's 30 years old. He's had some experience in the playoffs and regular season. He's just one of those veterans who is not going to wow by any means. And when I heard Green the Grapevine, one of the reasons they got him is because the other team wanted to dump his salary. They didn't want him anymore. They didn't need him, in their opinion. So it was kind of a salary dump. So the Blackhawks got Mrazek, which he's not going to move the needle in any way, but maybe he can be dependable. The main goal is, no pun intended, is that the Blackhawks want a young goalkeeper who can mold, train, he can be in the minors, he can make it to the team and become the new goalie of the future. Because Langton is like 26, Delia is almost like 29, and Mazik's now 30. So they don't, besides Langton, they don't really have a goalie who's young, up-and-coming, that could be molded. And Langton is old, and he's shown, not old, but he's shown what he is to an extent. So still we're unsure of what's going to happen with the Blackhawks in the goalie department. They need to figure that out. Or they don't. If they want to still stink and next year get a really good draft pick, then maybe their plan is to put the worst possible goalies in net to achieve that goal. And a second trade they did, we're going to order from least important to most shocking. The second one was that Kirby Dach, who's only 21, he was a number 3 overall draft pick, like in 2020. People had big things of Kirby Dach. He's a center. He has skill. People had Kirby Dach, the new Patrick Kane. And I believed he could be big, sensational. I heard from the grapevine that he was going to be, like, Jonathan Tate's good, like, that good. Like, when they drafted him, he was going to be in the minors, come up immediately, get molded, get practice, experience, skill, improve every year. And last year he was not that fantastic, but the team's so poor that you can't really blame Kirby Dach. But the team decided they couldn't wait any longer for Kirby Dach to improve. And financial issues aside, the team shipped Kirby Dach away. He is gone. So Kirby Dach has been traded to the Montreal Canadiens. And now Montreal has Kirby Dach. And he quoted saying to the NBC Sports Chicago that he was shocked by the trade. It was a shocking trade for him. Because he was traded to Montreal for some draft picks, and now he is gone. So Kirby Dach, only 21. I thought he's going to be here a long time. That was one of my opinions. Kirby Dach was going to be the face of the Blackhawks. But instead, the Blackhawks stay with the old-timers. And Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, they stick with those guys and ship out Kirby Dach. And I was a big Kirby Dach fan. I thought he could, just with time, patience, improvement. I know there was ups and downs. At times he looked unbelievable. Then other times, due to a fracture he had in his hand and other injuries as well, it was more But still, he's only 21, and I thought it would have been good to stay here. But now I guess go to Montreal with a team full of young stars, and Montreal is looking good with now Kirby Dach, Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, and the young core now they're building over in Montreal. So Kirby Dach joins that core. And if he wants to go to the playoffs and a team that's looking to improve, then leaving Blackhawks is a good plan for Kirby Dach. But I'm just kind of surprised he's gone this fast. I feel like you barely got to see him because he was hurt. And he got limited playing time when he was not hurt, but now he's gone. But good luck to Kirby Doc in Montreal. Now the last trade we want to talk about, the most explosive. The roster blew up in a draft night explosion. Is Kyle Davison, the GM, decided to make the move that could change the whole entire course of the franchise. Alex DeBrincat, who has been fantastic. He had a 40-goal season. He's goal-scoring threat. Along with Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews feeding Alex DeBrincat. The fortunes have looked great. Big fan of Alex DeBrincat. He's been one of the best players on the Blackhawks as of late. He had 41 goals last year. And he arguably is the best player when healthy. Due to Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews being older in years. I arguably would still say Patrick Kane. But he has been good overall in 5 years on the club. With 160 goals, 307 points, 368 games for Alex DeBrincat. And he's so young, he's only 24. And he's going to get a big payday. That was one reason people talked about him leaving. His current contract is going to expire. And he's going to be worth a big extension. So the Blackhawks maybe couldn't afford the extension, worried about the price. And they needed to consider moving Alex DeBrincat. I completely disagree. I thought it was a horrible mistake to trade Alex DeBrincat. He's so young. And if you want to get counterpoints, the logical reason to trade him is if they want Connor Bedard, the man who's going to be arguably the first player drafted next season. If they want him, then trading the best players like Kirby Doc, Alex DeBrincat with genius, because then they could, in theory, get the best player in the NHL draft next season, and people are talking about him, could be like 10 out of 10 unbelievable. So if they want that, then that would make sense. But even with those players, the Blackhawks probably were still going to be pretty bad. But they moved Alex DeBrincat to the Ottawa Senators, and now he joins a great club over there in Ottawa. They're going places, I think. They're improving. I think it's going to be a fun squad to watch, the Ottawa Senators. It hasn't been fun to watch in forever, but I think they're going to be a good club. And I'm angry that the Blackhawks trade Alex DeBrincat because I was a huge fan of him. Also angry because arguably the return they got was very poor for Alex DeBrincat, because they traded him to the Senators for the 7th or 39th overall picks plus a 3rd round pick in 2024. That's all they got for Alex DeBrincat. He was one of the best players in the NHL. He came off a great year. He's only 24, and he's still elite tools, and he's going to get a big payday, and it could be a franchise centerpiece for a Senators team. And I would definitely pay him a big contract if I was a GM based on his experience. I know you could say, well, it's only because Patrick Kane or Toews that the Brinkets begin to be so good, but I think he's just that good. Huge Alex DeBrincat fan. I'm definitely going to support, watch him when he's on Senators game or on TV. I want to support him. And I'm just kind of angry, shocked that he's gone. The Blackhawks are making moves I don't like. And I read an article on NBC Sports Chicago talked about how Alex DeBrincat had to be traded because of the Seth Jones trade from recently, when they traded for Seth Jones from the Columbus Blue Jackets in that hefty contract deal. It forced them to, due to cap reasons, unable to pay DeBrincat, so they had to trade him to relieve himself of the cap space due to Seth Jones. And that was a horrible trade. The Seth Jones trade has backfired dramatically. We don't need an old, highly paid defenseman right now. That's not what the Blackhawks need. But they traded for him, thinking that it was going to make the team accelerate the rebuild and go to the playoffs immediately, which instead has not happened whatsoever. But now DeBrincat's gone, Kirby Doc's gone, and the Blackhawks are getting very young off the draft picks, very young guys, like 18-year-olds, but the team's probably going to be bad for a while now without those moves. And there has been talk that Patrick Kane or Toews might go, especially Kane. There's been rumors he wants to go to the Buffalo Sabres, his hometown. And if they leave, then this team is going to be Arizona Coyotes bad. Definitely, if that's what happens, but don't particularly like either of the moves. I think it was a mistake. We'll see what happens in the future, in the next season, but overall, I give them both, especially the Drinking grade, I'd give that low level, like, C, and then I would give the, no, D, let's give it a D, and then a Doc one, like, a C+. So neither one that great. And then I would say one more thing before we go. I just saw this. I don't want to forget it. But one of my favorite players of all time in the NHL, Chicago Blackhawk legend. He's going to the Hall of Fame in my view. He's won 2 Norris trophies, All-Star games. One of the best defensemen I've ever seen. Love him so much. Duncan Keith is retiring from the NHL. And this does give the Blackhawks massive salary cap penalty due to the contract he was on when he was traded to the Oilers. But I want to give congratulations on Keith. Without him, we would not have won those Stanley Cups. And he's a hero in my book. Duncan Keith, enjoy retirement. Legend for a reason. And I'll never forget Duncan Keith because he's one of the reasons that I really love the Blackhawks and got into the squad so much. Because Duncan Keith, and just like one of the players you talked about in the past who retired, Duncan Keith is one that I'm just thrilled for him and enjoy my retirement. Duncan Keith, a legend. I'll probably have to do more of a deep dive on Duncan Keith about his career, his legacy, but just for now, I wanted to congratulate him on a long, storied career, especially with the Blackhawks, because much needed. So thank you for listening to this bonus one. I had a great time talking about the Fire, the Red Stars, and the Blackhawks here. Well, to do more of these in the future, especially if Premier League starting, because I want to get back to those. We aren't able to do those really this season due to logistical problems, but next year I do want to talk more about Premier League because that's one of my favorite sports, especially football these days. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend. See you next time, Blackhawk Sports Show. Goodbye.